Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast.
Welcome to Draftmas. I'm your host, Ash Thompson, and today I'm starting my yearly week of draft coverage. So, Draftmas, what is that? It's a seven-day festival leading up to the NFL draft that I've been doing since 2016 in some form or another. Started when the DLP site was a blog. So if you want to check my takes on previous drafts, go ahead. It's Ash Thompson, Draftmas. That's your Google search. You'll find things like me saying in 2021 that it doesn't matter whether you or I believe Jared Goff is a franchise quarterback because Brad Holmes does. Or that the Lions are going to invest in the trenches in their first draft, so we need to be ready for that, not praying for a receiver in round one. Of course, I also said that Rashawn Slater was a better prospect than Penei Sewell. So it's not like I get everything right. Not going to claim that. In that same article, there was also a great spicy tuna roll recipe that you will not regret trying out. And that's the spirit of Draftmas. This is supposed to be a good time. That's what I'm here for. If it's not what you're here for, just take your eyeballs elsewhere. All right? Thank you. So in the spirit of having a good time, I'm going to start with four uncomfortable truths about this draft and how I think they're going to shape the Lions' strategy. Uncomfortable truth one. This draft kind of sucks. And like Brad Holmes has said that he doesn't agree with me. It is lying season, but he doesn't typically engage in that kind of subterfuge. So maybe he's seen more stuff than I have, which, given what I said above, is probably true. But I don't say that every year. Like, I'm not one of these people who's always like, oh, next year's draft is so much better, or this isn't as good as last year. But in this case, like, I don't think there's a running back or a safety worth a second round pick, let alone a first. I have like one day two linebacker. I have single digit interior offensive linemen that I like in this entire draft. Unlike pass rushers, like most years we're talking about whether Darius or Chop Robinson are worth a third, like an early third, I think. And this year we're actually talking about those guys in the first round. The guaranteed guys going in the first are kind of pushed up this year by the lack of like top end defensive prospects, in my opinion. And things like if three tight ends go before the end of day two, two of those tight ends were reaches. There's plenty of day two corners, but three or four of them are probably going to end up going day one. There's a bunch of quarterbacks, some of whom are fifth or sixth year seniors, by the way, which is a thing I hate. Offensive tackles. At the top, it's a very good draft, and like the offensive tackle draft is about what you expect, except that it is a little bit better at the top than normal. But outside of like a couple position groups, like there's not a lot to get really, really excited about relative to other years. And how is that going to affect what the Lions do? Well, the 2021 draft was a lot like this. Did the Lions take a receiver at the top of that loaded receiver draft? No, they waited until everyone else made their receiver picks and took the guy who should have been a second round draft but fell to the fourth because the class was so good. That draft had like five defensive tackles go in the first 2 days, and the Lions took two of them. That is a weirdly small number of defensive tackle prospects. There were not a lot of good defensive tackle prospects, but there were a few, and the Lions targeted the group where they weren't going to be able to get somebody great later. Like, that class was so bad that fewer than 20 defensive tackles went in that entire draft. So am I saying the Lions are going to draft a bunch of defensive tackles? That's not really what I mean. But they know that a strong class at one position means there are deals to be found later in that draft at that position. But if you're going to get like a good pass rush prospect in this draft, that's over at the end of round two, most likely. Like, and those guys are thinking of, well, this guy's supposed to go in the third. He's not going to. The scarcity will have those players go a little bit quicker in all likelihood. Like, if no pass rushers go in the top 15, that's an opportunity to get a guy. If no defensive tackles go in the top 20, that's an opportunity to get a guy. If you get round three and nobody has actually selected any of those safeties, that is an opportunity to get a guy. Those position groups aren't good, but there are a few good players. Whereas at other positions, there are not a lot of... You get what I'm saying. The bad position groups, there are very few guys worth taking. They will probably take one of those early. The good position groups, plenty of options later. They'll probably wait on that. That's what they've historically done. Like, one example. So there's a guy I really like, Keon Coleman. If he ends up being the 12th or 16th even receiver taken off the board, I would understand how we got there. And I would be desperately hoping that the Detroit Lions were the beneficiary of the league not really being happy about what he does. Like, maybe he's not going to be a 1,500-yard, 10-touchdown guy. But he'll be a good player that they would be very happy they took 2 years from now. I'm not saying they shouldn't take a receiver high either. Just that if they don't, it makes complete sense based on what they've done in the past. What's truth to? I think day three picks in this draft have even less value than they normally do. Like, even in the good position groups of this draft, after about 130, 140 prospects, I think this draft falls off a cliff. It has never been this hard for me to find guys that I have really good things to say about later than round four. Like, I'll be wrong about some players. There are some I won't mention in the next 6 days that will probably end up making Pro Bowls in the next 2-3 years. That just happens. But I'm never going to be the guy who beats himself up for not seeing something that other nobody else saw either. Like, nobody expected Puka Nacua. Anyone who says they did, liar. The thing with this draft is that there's more 5th and 6th year seniors than there have ever been. Because NILs are making it so that basically we're all going to have to get over that 5th-year senior bias, because going back just makes more sense for a lot of guys. Like, the guys who may or may not get drafted after their 4th year have no reason to come out and risk that when they can probably just transfer to a bigger school for their 5th year of eligibility, who had like a couple bad recruiting years at their position, get a 6-figure income, and then have like one more year of tape beating up on younger guys when they go into their draft year. Like, that extra year of eligibility, the league granted all players in the NCAA in 2020, it's created a pile, like a giant pile of guys who had subpar 4-year careers and 1 year of production. Like, usually it would be those small school guys who would be filling out day three, where you're just like, you're not sure, you have questions. Now they're transferring to Michigan or somewhere in the SEC and just getting that extra year of tape against higher competition that previously we were all speculating about whether or not they would have been able to deal with. Now we kind of know. Like, it used to be when a guy transferred for his senior season, it was because he had graduated a year early, and that was all but a guarantee that the guy was going to be able to handle the league mentally. Now it just means he didn't want to risk going undrafted, and he got an offer from a team that was going to pay him enough money to make it worth his while to stay in college next year. So, if the Lions trade up into the 4th, or they trade into the 2nd, using later picks as trade bait, the loss of those picks, to me, counts less this year than it has in other drafts. Now, Brett Holmes has a pretty good track record of pulling guys out of day 3 who could at least make the roster. But this also isn't the 2021 team, where a larger than normal raindrop could have made that 53-man roster at some positions. Like, I love Jerry. If he was brought in this year as who he was at the moment he came in, not current Jerry, I think current Jerry would easily make this roster, but like undrafted rookie Jerry might not find a spot here anymore. So because of the specific makeup of the draft and the fact that the Lions need impact more than they need depth at the vast majority of their positions, there's no reason like for them to draft a linebacker or tight end, example, just like this year, unless a guy slides, because most of the players in this draft at those two positions aren't going to make this team. And there are still plenty of veteran players still available who would jump at the chance to join a contender after the draft, as long as they see a path to the field. Like, Andre Diggs isn't going somewhere to end up as a pseudo coach on the practice field and watch games in his equipment on the sideline. That is not what he wants to do. But there are a bunch of guys like that still out there that you can bring in if you don't get a guy in the draft that you like. That's truth too. Number three. This is one that I think the Lions fans are going to struggle with. Rookies are not starting on this team. Not pick 29, not pick 61, not pick 73, definitely not anything after that, barring a whole bunch of preseason injuries that kind of negatively affect the season. Like, Jack Campbell and Jahmyr Gibbs having trouble getting over the veterans in front of them is the new normal for this team. Like, if David Montgomery doesn't miss a couple of games in the middle of the season, I'm not sure we would have seen Gibbs get that opportunity to step into that role, because Montgomery was playing very well in front of him. Not because Gibbs wasn't good, although honestly, in the first few games of the season, other than a couple splash plays, he really wasn't. But I don't think he would have gotten that step, because like, that wasn't a roster or a team that was desperate for him to do that. Like, the Lions have always been with their first, second, and third round picks in the past. And I mean, like, fantasy football people were furious that their preseason talk about how the Lions using pick 12 meant that they were obviously going to put the guy on the field was wrong. But nobody cares what fantasy football people think. And you should stop listening to them about what the Detroit Lions are going to do, because they generally, most of the people that I've dealt with in the fantasy industry, kind of know one team really well. That's sort of the norm for media, and then they're basically speculating on the other 31 teams. Like, I would not do NFL coverage on any team except the Detroit Lions with any level of credibility. Like, I could spam out your game previews just like anybody else, but they wouldn't be as insightful as a guy who has followed that team the way I follow this team, if that makes sense. You can argue there are a few exceptions. Like, for example, you can probably at pick 29 get a better receiver than Khalif Raymond or Donovan Peoples-Jones immediately straight out of the box. But I doubt the team would go with the rookie immediately unless the difference was big and very clear. That exception exists. I will grant that. There's a possibility a corner could do that too, if one of the guys that they brought in doesn't kind of live up to what he's done at other places. Like, there are paths for players to get a lot of playing time at other spots, but immediate day one starters aren't going to be the norm for this team anymore. So we need to quit with the whole the team effed up by taking this guy in round one stuff when they're not starting at the bye week. They're not supposed to. The fact that that's Detroit's expectation is indicative of how badly run this organization has been forever. They're just not supposed to start on good teams. They never do. Like the Chiefs' first round pick last year, Felix Ndighi-Ozuma, he didn't start a single game, and he only played 20% of their defensive snaps. He had a PFF grade of 52. And that's okay. That's what a late round rookie, like a late first round rookie, typically does. Like, looking at last year's draft, other than like looking at the guys picked within, say, like four or five picks of number 29, where the Lions are picking this year, that's like Dalton Kincaid started 11 games, six 673 yards receiving, PFF grade in the 60s. Mazi Smith, 4 starts, 13 tackles, 1 sack, PFF grade under 50. Anton Harrison started 17 games, but his PFF grade was in the 50s. He started because they didn't have anybody at that position, not because he was actually good enough to start in the NFL. Brian Brzee, no starts, PFF grade in the 40s. But he was good at one thing. Like, he did get a bunch of sacks and some QB hits. Vacuous hole against the run. Would not even get on the field for this team. Nolan Smith, 0 starts, 1 sack, PFF grade in the 50s. They knew he wasn't going to play when they drafted him. Just the nature of the team that they had in Philly. Joey Porter Jr. actually did reasonably well, but he still only started 11 games and had a PFF grade in the 60s. Will Levis, 9 games, PFF grade in the 60s. Sam Laporta. The two tight ends are the obvious exceptions here. But it was probably the best tight end class in my memory. Like, there were a whole bunch of guys in that spot. And like Brad Holmes said, there was one player that only him and Dan Campbell loved. This is the obvious choice because there were about 4 other tight ends that you could argue pre-draft were better prospects than Sam Laporta. So if the scouts loved one other guy more than they loved Laporta, but Holmes and Campbell said that Laporta was the guy they wanted, like, they're right. I was one of the people who had a couple other guys in front of Laporta. Happy to be wrong. 4th uncomfortable truth. You know less than Brad Holmes. You're not as good at this stuff as he is. So, like, when you're calling 97.1 to talk about how he reached for a guy who wasn't ranked in a round that he was taken by Dane Brugler or PFF or some schmuck like me, remember that he's better at it than they are, too. He's definitely better at it than me. That's for damn sure. Chances are I'm better at it than you, or you wouldn't be watching this right now. No, couldn't get through a whole video without doing it. Like I'm happy with a year where half of my day 3 gems are signing second deals 4 years later. Because for reference, like, that's double the NFL average with those picks. Rounds 5 through 7, there is a 25% chance you get a guy who is on your team in year 4. So if half of my day 3 guys are good, like, I'm crushing it. And I'm not saying we can't question our fearless leader. Like, if I don't like a pick, I'm going to say I don't like a pick. But you won't hear me saying that Holmes is wrong. Whereas, like, there were plenty of Bob Quinn picks where I was perfectly comfortable in the second the pick was made calling the player a bust. Immediately, like a corner who runs a 4.68 at the combine and then even slower at his pro day, who then comes out and says that he didn't even train for those tests because they don't matter. Or a linebacker who ran a 4.8 playing off ball. And you know what? With that one, I was even kind of wrong. Like, Jelani Tavai was pretty good last season, but he was still a bad pick in the second round. Because he didn't have a productive year until his 5th season with a different team. But Holmes has yet to make that immediately obviously bad pick. So there's really no reason to be getting upset about what he does. Because to this point, his draft record is impeccable. Like, these guys are working, and if they can make the team because there's too many other guys he brought in who are better than them, they're signing at other places. Anyway, that's it. The rest of these, the other 6 days of this, are just going to be me talking about draft prospects. So, if that's what you tuned in for today, sorry for the disappointment, we're not going to get there. Spent about 20 minutes on this. That's about the amount of time that I'm going to spend on any of these. See you tomorrow.
Let's bring it here together. Let's go.
Woo! Lions on 3. 1, 2, 3. Lions!
You've had enough of that shit.